We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. Even in the course of an abbreviated season, and maybe exacerbated by an abbreviated season, you're going to have games like the Royals had last night. They had early chances they didn't take advantage of.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every single inning that came and went, the Royals either had a tough break, C.B. Buckner screwed them, or a combination thereof, and it led to a 10-inning
nice
loss, 6-5 to Cincinnati. And we bring in Lynn Worthy now from the Kansas City Star. And missed opportunities last night, Lynn, but first of all, good morning. Welcome to the show. What do you make of the Royals' first 18 games so far this season?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me. The first 18 games, well, it's, you know, I think for the first 10 of those, I think folks were looking pretty down on the way this season was going to go. And then the last, you know, five, particularly the four that they won in a row, people were feeling pretty good. I mean, even last night, you know, I think once McBroom gets that pinch hit home run and ties it, you start to get that feeling like, okay, they're going to make something happen here. They're going to, you know, pull this out just like the way that they'd been going these last couple of days. To me, I guess the biggest thing is just that the, you know, once they seem to find a little bit of stability, especially with the rotation, you know, because they didn't have five starting pitchers until last week, and you didn't have, you know, the guys that you expected to be in there with Keller and Junis until last mm-hmm. week. So that, along with the rookies who have been holding their own in the rotation, I think that's the thing that's really helped turn this, you know, the at least the attitude and the recent results around. And, you know, the bullpen has actually been a lot better throughout the season than what it was last year. So to me, I think just the stability, starting to get some guys back, you know, Dozier now is an everyday guy is back. I think that's what's really, you know, helped turn the outlook on this season.
Yeah, if I was going to look at things in terms of macro, micro, I might actually come away with the same view, because – the pitching staff, at least the starting pitching staff, seems to be solidifying. And that might be overstating it a little bit, but at least we're getting some answers. We're getting some glimpses. There's some consistency with young arms. There's some guys that you can look at, Lynn, that you could see there for the next 5 years or so as quote-unquote anchors of this staff. So I'm going to go ahead and say through 18 games, I'm going to call it the macro and the micro, the here and the now and the there and the then. I feel pretty good about where this starting pitching staff is at this particular point. Agree or disagree?
I think I agree right now. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to me, especially compare, I mean, when you compare to where it was at the beginning of the season, when you had basically three starters, one of them was a rookie who you'd never seen before, and then the other 2 days were bullpen days, then yes, you have to be in a better spot now than you were
right
then, just by the fact that you've got some guys who've started, you know, lots of games in the big leagues. I mean, Jacob Junis, you know, led the team in I think it was starts, innings pitched, strikeouts last season. So you bring a guy like that back, Keller, who was your opening day starter, you bring those guys back when you had bullpen days, and you have to be better than what you were earlier in the season. Long term, depending on, you know for sure what's going to happen, the thing's going to look like 5 years down the line. But the idea that you look at Brady Singer and Chris Bubich, who are making jumps,
right,
who never pitched at AAA for Singer or even AA for Bubich, for them to be holding their own against big leagues and looking good and making, you know, quality starts as Buvich did his, not last night, but the night before, or his start before, that definitely has to be encouraging going forward. And you know there's other guys. You don't know for sure what they're going to be. I mean, you know, a guy like Jackson Kowar and Daniel Lynch are, you know, highly rated prospects. I mean, to certain people, I think their repertoire, their stuff, as they like to call it, may be better, or in a lot of people's eyes, is better than the guys that you got up there right now, but they're just not at the same level of readiness as the two guys that you see now. So, yeah, that's encouraging macro level, but you just don't know for sure. I mean, there's so much uncertainty going forward. But, yeah, that's from what you see, yes, definitely.
Lynn Worthy, Kansas City Star Royals beat reporter, joining us here on Sports Daily after the Royals dropped a tough one last night, 6-5, to fall to 7-11. Lynn, do you think the handling of the bullpen by Mike Matheny is just COVID-19 related in that, okay, everybody's got to be flexible here, CE and Kennedy, or even in a 162 game season, do you think he would handle it the same way? I get the urgency to try to win every game and maybe save the game in the sixth or seventh inning, as it were. But do you think that's coming at the expense of maybe some sharpness of Ian Kennedy and just taking advantage of a hot Trevor Rosenthal?
Well, I can tell you that the idea of using guys in high leverage as opposed to set roles, like you're a seventh inning guy, you're an eighth inning guy, you're a ninth inning guy, that is not COVID related, because we had that discussion with Mike Matheny in Arizona before, you know, everything got shut down. And this is what he was already thinking about, and this is the direction that he was already talking about going. We just never really got to dive into that, because I think one of those discussions was the day before everything shut down, and then the other one was the day of everything getting shut down. And so there wasn't, you know, any real follow-up and talking to players, and then, you know, baseball and everything else stopped for about 3 months. So yeah, this was something that he was thinking about back then. I think it's easier to, in some ways, probably easier to implement and see it play out in 60-game season. Particularly now when you have five starters, I think it was going to be harder to maintain. You know, just after 10 games, you look at it and you're using the bullpen so much and having full games that were basically bullpen days. It was going to be harder to maintain to be able to do that even through 60 games, I think. But now with five starters, I think you can do that and maintain over 60, and it shouldn't be too bad of a problem. It would have been interesting to see how it would play out over 162. But I don't believe that's COVID-related, just like I said, from having those conversations before COVID changed everything and knowing that that's what he had in his mind.
Lynn Worthy, Kansas City Stars, our Royals insider, and we're glad to have him on, very gracious with his time. Lynn, what have we learned about the evolution of Mike Matheny, taking Shane's point even a step further? Give us the broader view of how this guy has changed. Or has he changed at all from his time in St. Louis? What kind of philosophical differences continue to shape him a little bit? Or is it too early to tell? Can you give us a little finger on the pulse, kind of knee-jerk reaction on what you're seeing from Mike Matheny?
Yeah, well, I think what, at least based off of, you know, what maybe the perception was in St. Louis, and I wasn't, you know, obviously there to see on a daily basis how things played out. But I think when you hear he's going to be the guy for the Royals, some of the things you hear was, you know, he's more of an old school guy, and that, you know, maybe he's more traditional with things like, you know, the lineups, or and he's, you know, maybe some of the young players who are still trying to establish themselves didn't necessarily, you know, have the greatest experience with him, or maybe they had some issues there. I think and I actually wrote a story that we put up online yesterday talking about Nicky Lopez, because Nicky Lopez is one of those guys who's, you know, still trying to establish himself and trying to adapt to a role where, you know, as Matheny phrases it, you know, he's an everyday player, but he might not be in the starting lineup every day. Well, if you look back to St. Louis, Colton Wong, second baseman he had there, has been sort of vocal about how he was more comfortable with the new manager, Schlitt, and how he's sort of giving them that every day you're in there, as opposed to how it was under Matheny, and he feels like that's been a big difference for him. But Nicky's actually seemed to embrace, at least, you know, 18 games in, that idea that he can be an everyday guy and have an impact every day. while not necessarily being the starting lineup every day. So that's just one difference that I was actually sort of delving into recently. But as far as the use of analytics, I mean, we've seen the Royals shift a lot. We've seen some different type shifts. We've seen, you know, I think it was in Detroit, I think, where they had almost what looked like four guys on the outfield grass. There were actually, I think, almost six guys, two of the infield guys on the outfield grass where they were positioned against, I think it was Miguel Cabrera. And I had talked with him, I guess it was a week or two ago, about Soler batting in that second spot in the lineup where he's a traditional power type hitter, and you usually see those guys at three or four. But the game has moved to where you see guys like Aaron Judge and Mike Trout batting second, and that's, you know, he pointed to the data about, you know, if he's batting second, there's more chances he's going to come up. Mm-hmm. There's more chances he's going to come out with men on base. Less likely he's going to come out with nobody on base than if he's batting in the four hole. So these are things that they're in his mind when he's making out the lineup. And then also we talked about the bullpen. The idea that you're going to use these guys in high leverage situations and not say, okay, this is our closer, we're going to use him in this spot and that spot only. I mean, even last night they used Rosenthal to go into the ninth when, you know, you're still trying to keep the game tied, as opposed to if you get a lead or if you get into the 10th, bringing in the closer. They went closer right away to try and hold it, and then they brought in Stamon after that. So, yeah, I think at least based on some of the perceptions that you had of him out of St. Louis, or at least from what I've read and what I had and, you know, the things that we thought about him before we saw him in action, yeah, it's definitely been different, at least in these early stages.
Lynn Worthy joining us, talking Royals, KansasCityStar.com, Royals beat reporter. Bruce and I kicked around the topic, not necessarily the idea of Bobby Witt Jr. coming up to the big leagues at this early stage of his not only baseball life but career. And then the Royals promote a kid named Jason Guzman, who's 21. A Rule 5 guy who had never played anywhere higher than low A Lexington. So with that being said, is there any chance that Bobby Witt Jr. Makes an appearance on the 28-man roster this year, do you think?
This is just my opinion because I haven't really – I mean, I can't say for sure that I've had, you know, in-depth discussions about this, but I haven't really had in-depth. I mean, you pick some people's brains, but I don't think so. The things to keep in mind with Guzman is he was already on the 40-man roster, which was a big reason that he was called up at this point. And also with Guzman, I think really they sent Eric Mejia down last week. And so basically he probably would have been the guy that they call up, except he hadn't been down for 10 days yet. So if he'd been down for 10 days, and he probably would have been him getting called up as opposed to Guzman. So
gotcha.
I think the Guzman thing was more of a logistical, you know, he's on the 40 man. He's, you know, somebody you can bring up. You can't quite bring Mejia up yet because he was sent down. It wasn't an injury or an IL or anything like that. That's why Guzman. And then Bobby Witt Jr., I mean, even with as much as, you know, people were excited about what he did at camp, I just feel the need to remind people that he's played less than 40 games at the professional level, at the rookie ball level, that I don't know that that's a leap that they're ready to make yet. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I just don't think it's quite there yet, even though he's probably ahead of what anybody thought for this season.
Yeah, I agree. Good take. But he does have a maturity that belies his age, even at the age of 20, in just his approach at the plate. He's got pretty good patience for a kid, for such a young hitter. But be that as it may, what do you think the long term – I would imagine that he fits into things probably maybe as early as next year, certainly the year after. They've got a very interesting situation right now with – people in places where he might play. So where do you think, what is the long-term or even the short-term view of this kid at the next level? Where is he going to play? What position is he going to play? You've got your franchise shortstop in the fold for the next, you know, 5-6 years, whatever the case may be. So what is the view with Bobby Witt Jr. amongst that franchise, do you think?
Well, for the time being, it seems like they want him to keep getting work regularly at shortstop. But I also feel like as he gets closer, they would probably look for ways to make sure that he gets on the field, regardless of whether it's at shortstop or even in the exhibition game, or not the exhibition games, but the inter-squad games, they put him at third base just to have him on the field with Mondi at times. And he hadn't necessarily got a whole lot of work at third, but he didn't show.
Right.
I think it's going to be one of those things where they look at it as, okay, he's a guy who's that talented. You get him on the field, and if Mondi's still there and in the plans and still performing well, then you get both of them on the field when it comes time. It was interesting to see third base because, you have options there right now, but I'm not sure how concrete any of them are. Franco, in theory, you still could have control for another year with him. Kelvin Gutierrez is a guy that they seem to like and has shown some potential at third base, but he's also been injured for multiple times. So whether or not third base is an option, I'm not sure. But if he forces their hand, then they might make it an option. Depends on how things play out with Mondesi, but they seem to really be committed and want to stay committed to Mondesi, and they feel like he's a guy who could be a breakout star. He's just not quite there yet. So I think I haven't really talked to anybody about whether or not, they look at the outfield as an option for him, but I think with his ability that right now, they definitely plan to keep him working at short and then adjust as they have to going forward.
Lynn Worthy from the Kansas City Star talking Royals. Good job, Lynn. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there he goes, Lynn
Thanks,
Worthy.
Lynn.
It is Brad Keller and Wade Miley tonight at 5:40, and then the Royals get another day off. And then I think they come home, play the Reds and the Twins, something like that. But anyway, joined in progress tonight after the drive, so you'll miss about 20 games of radio play, 20 minutes of radio play-by-play. Keller and Miley, your pitchers tonight at Great American Ballpark. All right. Twitter question time. Cindio brings it to us. Your HR experts in Wichita will reveal that. And we'll jump on with Drew Davison in 16 minutes from now. Get his thoughts on what the Big 12 is going to do. He's with Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Stay there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.